We're reading God's Word this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, and reading together from the first verse. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I. Sanctification is the presence of Christ and the power of Christ in us. And if you look at the words of verse 8 and following, you'll find that sanctification is His working in us that overcomes our natural weakness and our surrounding circumstances. We are troubled, but not distressed. We are perplexed. An awful lot of preachers in this charismatic age would like you to think that it's wrong for a Christian ever to be perplexed. But here's the greatest man of God in the history of the world since the days of Christ Himself. The greatest preacher, the greatest theologian, the greatest missionary, the greatest saint. And he says, we are perplexed. Those are his circumstances. Those are his natural weaknesses. And he says, we are not in despair. In other words, our eyes are in Christ. That's sanctification. Overcoming. That's continuing the life. Then there's glorification. This is the work of God. He who has begun a good work in us will, thank God, complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He who regenerated, he who sustains in grace, will, thank God, bring us to heaven. The old devil wants a believer to think that having started out for glory, he'll yet end up in hell. I want to tell you, it's impossible for God to start a work and not to finish it. Salvation, in its accomplishment and in its application, is all the work of God. Now that's God's work. Very quickly, you have the devil's work. And I'm only going to have time to mention how the devil seeks now to thwart the work of God. And I can only
suggest the areas in which He'll do it. He'll do it in your life personally as a Christian. He'll do it in the lives of men and women who are not saved but are under the sound of the gospel. He'll do it in the world at large or any church in particular. And His threefold operation is first, verse 2, by deceit. That's how the devil gets working. Handling the Word of God deceitfully. It's often said that the devil's never more dangerous than when he's quoting Scripture. And that's true. You notice how he does it? You notice that when the cults come around your doors, when the Jehovah's Witnesses knock your door, or the Mormons knock your door, or some other cult comes, they try to make you believe, first and foremost, we're coming with the Bible. The Jehovah's Witness comes to your door, he may hardly be able to read John 3:16, he has it off by heart, but he can hardly read it, but he wants to enter into a deep dissertation and discussion on the meaning and usage of the Hebrew words for soul and spirit. I had a great time with one of them one day. He came to my door in Ballymoney, and he had this all off pat. He said, well, of course, you know the word Sheol, only he didn't pronounce it quite like that, but he says, you know that. And the Hebrew for hell says this. I said, oh, I'm glad you know those things. I never bring these fellows in over the door. And if you'd like to stand there, I'd be glad to bring you down a Hebrew Bible and let you start going through it, and you can show me it now for yourself. At which stage he changed his tune. But he wanted me to believe that he had the Bible. The devil's always dangerous when he's spouting Scripture, deceitfully handling God's Word. The apostates do it. When the Pope came to Colombia, what did he do? As a liar and a deceiver, he even quoted the words of the Apostle Paul that his church has officially anathematized, denied in any evangelical sense at all. The devil's work will first be by deceit. He will come to the individual and he will try to deceive him as to the way of salvation. I have talked to men who take Scripture completely in a way that God the Holy Spirit has never intended it to be taken, and they have used the Scripture to blockade their own way in coming to Christ. I have met with people who have taken the doctrine of election, and they have said, I cannot come to Christ until I know that I am one of God's elect. And that is a doctrine of the devil. Doctrine of God's Word is come to Christ. And when you come to Christ, you can rejoice that you're among God's elect. There's no sinner who will ever know he's elect of God while he's living in sin and for the devil. That's the devil's invention. It can never be otherwise. He'll use the Bible deceitfully. Then when you do come to Christ, the devil will try to use the Scripture to make you believe that yet you'll go to hell. I have talked to more Christians who have come across verses like Hebrews 6:4-6, Hebrews 10:39. And the devil takes these things and he twists them and he turns them and he deceives the mind through them in order to make a person believe that God will be a liar and God will go back in His Word and God will nullify the covenant of grace and the blood will fail in the believing sinner who came to Jesus and trusted Him and was saved will yet be lost. He uses darkness. Verses 3 and 4. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not,
lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. One thing the devil fears is the light of the gospel getting to the minds of men, keeping them in darkness. Then there's discouragement. Verse 8 and following, the trouble and the perplexity and the persecution and the casting down really are. They were satanic attempts to discourage the people of God. Deceit, darkness, shutting off the light of the gospel, shutting off the sight of Christ, discouragement, making you feel your weakness. These are aspects of the devil's work. But you know, as I said, the Lord is not striving for the victory. The Lord's in control. Our God is not struggling if perchance He may yet overcome. His eternal purpose and decree will never, never, never be overcome. Therefore, with Paul, we can come to our work with absolute certainty. What is our work? Four words will sum it up. Verse 1, our ministry. What is that ministry? Read on. It's the manifestation of the truth. This church is in being to manifest the truth to every man's conscience. The job of this preacher, in his preaching, in his living, in everything that he does, is to manifest the truth. There are many things the churches get involved in and they think they have got to do. I was reading an article about stewardship programs that churches get into that really are financial scams and financial scandals and violate every principle of finance and financial behavior that the Word of God sets forth is right for the Christian. Why do they do it? Because they have a preconceived notion of the things that we must do. Many things I want us as a church to be able to do. Many items I bring to the Lord in prayer. Things that, as far as I understand, the leading of the Lord for the work of God in this place are going to be very vital. But I've always got to keep in mind that it's not my job to arrive at conclusions as to what we must do and then move heaven and earth to do it. That's where churches end up going wrong. We must have 500 people by the 1st of January. Therefore, you do anything. I've often mentioned the preacher who had to have so many thousand people in, and to get them in, he turned his church into a circus and he swallowed goldfish. Anybody's going to go and watch a clown as long as you don't have too much of an admission charge. Our ministry is the manifestation of the truth. Our message, verse 5, the second word, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Now there's a subject not for a point nor for a sermon, but for a lifetime. You talk to most Christians today and ask them, does your preacher preach Christ? Certainly he preaches Christ. They haven't the slightest clue as to why you even ask the question. I want to tell you, when you hear Christians say, as I have heard them say, I have never heard a message preached on the meaning and the merit and the value and the working of the blood of Christ. I have never heard a message on the atonement. I have never heard a message on the resurrection. And I don't know how it relates to me. It's a point of dogma or doctrine. But what it means, I haven't a clue. I have never heard a message on the intercession. I have never heard a message on the mediatorial offices of Christ. I have never heard a message on justification by free grace through faith. I have never heard a message on electing love. I have never heard a message on God's preserving grace and power. And so on and so on. I tell you, my friend, whatever is being preached, it is not Christ. Paul says, we preach not ourselves. Preaching nowadays has become a collection of funny stories or a collection of pathetic stories, as long as the preacher can figure in them. We live in the day of the bulging ego of the preacher. Our message must be Christ. Verse 7 to 11 is our mastery. Here is our victory. Yes, Satan and all his forces are against the work of God with deceit and darkness and discouragement, but thank God we are not going to be destroyed, for our God is in control. Our Christ is in the glory. Our Savior is the conqueror. That's the reason behind Paul's statement, we are not destroyed. Finally, in all this work, our mentality, this will carry a Christian through anything. Verse 17. Well, we started at verse 16. For which cause we faint not. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction. Now, it's easy to sit in padded pews or stand behind a nicely constructed pulpit and be comfortable and say our light affliction. But remember, this is the man who said we're troubled in every side. We're perplexed. We're persecuted. We're cast down. We're always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. In other words, I'm facing death and agony every day for the gospel's sake. That's what Paul is saying. But he said it's a light affliction. It's a light. And he says it's happening on every side and it's happening every day. But it's just for a moment. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we, here's our mentality now, we look not at the things which are seen, things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. Men and women, the key to working for God is to not to look at the things that you can see. Sounds strange. There's a difference between looking and seeing. Paul says, do not look at or to the things that you can see. The old Puritans used to put it well when they would say, hold loose to the things of this world. Don't look at or to the things that you can see, but look at and to the things that are not seen by the human eye. What are those things? I leave you to read Hebrews 12, 24 and onwards and look at those things. Christ is in the glory. Look to Him. His blood is now presented. Look to that. Look to the things which are not seen. That's our mentality. God help us to work like that. The hour is late. The need is great. We need a race of Christians who are sold out to God because their eyes are on things eternal and not on the things that are seen. God is working. Never, never, never forget that. God is working. Oh, the devil's working. But never forget, this bolstered up Martin Luther to no end in his great conflict. Never forget that even the devil's working is subject to the sovereign decree of God in a way that we can't begin to comprehend. But the devil is under control. God is working. The devil's opposing. Let us work with confidence. Let us work with our eyes on the things that are eternal. Thank God the victory is ours. Let's bow and pray. Let's all pray. We do want every head bowed in prayer. If you're in the meeting this morning and you're not saved, we're here as your servants for Christ's sake. We'd be glad to open the Scriptures with you, seek to point you to the Lord Jesus. You must be born again. You need life. You need light and you need liberty. These are all in Christ. The work of applying salvation is His, just as the work of obtaining it is His. But He who does the work calls you to Himself. Repent and believe the gospel. I trust you'll come to Christ today and labor no longer under the delusion and the deceit of the devil. If you are a Christian, discouraged, be not in despair. Perplexed, be not cast down. God is in His heaven. And if we can't say with the poet that all's well with the world, thank God we can say all is well with the Christian. Our Father in heaven, bless thy word to every heart. We ask thee to give us a fresh understanding of the gospel. Give us a fresh sight by faith of Christ. Give us, O God, we plead, a great realization that our God is on the throne. We thank Thee, Lord, that the victory is Thine. The battle is Thine. This is Thy work. Lord, we cry to Thee to nullify the work of the devil in the hearts of men and women. Remove his deceit and his darkness and his discouragement. We ask Thee, our God, today that Thou wilt save souls, and we pray that Thou wilt enable Thy people to work. Thou hast said indeed that the night is coming when no man shall work. Help us, O Lord, to walk in the light and to work in the light. To work, O God, with that glorious certainty, looking unto Jesus, to the things which are not seen but eternal, to work with that certainty that the victory is ours in Him. Hear our cry, part us with Thy very richest blessing. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.